To the TV audience, we might mention that Brother Hoagland, whom you normally see at this time and hear at this time, has had bypass surgery during the past week, and he's doing real well, and we're sure he continues to solicit your prayers on his behalf, and it's our prayer that he'll soon be able to take up his place here begin the preaching once again. But you'll see my face for a couple of times, I guess, and maybe a couple of the other brethren that are here. And we appreciate your presence this morning in the audience and in our TV audience. The lesson that I'm going to bring this morning is titled, The Man Who Ran Through Life. And we're going to be talking about Jonah. This is a little book in the Old Testament. But it has some great lessons for us today, I believe. There are only four chapters, but each one of them has some very interesting things to say and some lessons for us to glean from them. I think all children at a very early age have heard about Jonah. Sometimes we refer to Jonah and the whale, but the fact is that the Bible refers to it as a great fish. And not a whale, but a great fish. One of the things that I think we need to be very clear about in our study of the book of Jonah is that I believe it is real. It's not a fairy tale. It's not something that has been made up. And the New Testament attests to this. Jesus himself used Jonah as an example of how he would be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And so that takes it out of the realm of some type of a fairy tale or some type of a myth and puts it in the realm of reality. And I believe it to be that to be the case. There are some things about the book of Jonah that I really don't understand, would not even begin to tell you that I do. They fall in the realm of miracles. And I don't know how God did some of this. But I do believe that he did it. And so as we look at the book of Jonah, I want to look at each chapter briefly and to make some application to our own personal lives today. Chapter 1, we see a man who ran from God. Remember I said our lesson is entitled, The Man Who Ran Through Life. Jonah began to run from God in chapter 1. If you notice in verse 2 that was read in our hearing a while ago, what God tells Jonah to do is very clear. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Now, I think anybody here who is old enough to understand the English could understand what he wants him to do. He says, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city. There is no confusion about that. Nineveh was very well known. It was probably the most prevalent city in the world at that particular time. It's mentioned, probably one of the first cities ever mentioned in the Old Testament. Been around a long time. And I'm sure that Jonah knew exactly where it was. It was probably some 400 or 500 miles from where Jonah was at this time. He was probably down, we're not really told exactly, but he was probably down somewhere in Israel and in that area. And so whenever he was told to do this, he did just exactly the opposite of what God told him to do. He went in the opposite direction, went down to Joppa, which would have been in the opposite direction from Nineveh. Nineveh was on the Tigris River up in the inland, and Joppa was a seacoast town. He hires a boat there, and he gets on that boat, and he goes in the direction of Tarshish. That most people believe that's somewhere in the in Spain, the area of Spain. But that would be totally 180 degrees from where Nineveh would be. And so we can see that it is possible, I believe, from this, that one can run from God. And one can do that by, first of all, failing to do what God says to do. Thought here that he would just deliberately disobey God is hard to understand. But we see it happen all the time in the world today. People reject what God would have them to do. God tells us to do this and to do that, and I'll not go into all of the things that God wants us to do today. Most of us understand that. But people just deliberately refuse to obey what God would have them to do. And that's what Jonah did. And Jonah knew better. Jonah was very much aware that what he was doing was wrong. In verse 10, whenever we hear them talking about the men on the ship, the men say that he told them that this was what he was doing. He was running from God. And that's the way people are today many times. And any time we disobey God, when we know to do what God would have us to do, we're running from Him. We can run from God whenever we refuse to believe that He exists. In the world today, it seems to me that more and more people are denying that there is a God. And despite the fact that there are so many evidences out there in the realm of science, all the physical sciences, they declare, they shout, they cry out to us that there is a Creator, that everything could not have happened by chance. And yet so many people, allegedly learned, intelligent people, want to reject the fact that God does exist. And so whenever we see that in the world today, people who reject God are running from Him. Another lesson I think that we can learn from chapter 1, when people run from God, there's a day of reckoning. People think that they're going to go through life and not have to answer for anything that they do. And yet nothing is further from the truth. Jonah learned that the hard way. Apparently Jonah thought he was going to be able to get away with doing what God said not to do, or get away with not doing what God told him to do. But the fact is that there was a day of reckoning for him. Jonah gets on this boat. He goes down in the lower part of the boat. He goes to sleep, and he thinks everything's going to be fine. He's just going to sail off to Tarshish, and no way, shape, or form will he have to do what God says. But it didn't take very long for a storm to come up. And when it did, it was a dandy. It was such a ravenous storm that we're told that the boat was about to break up. And the people ran, some of the men of the ship went down and told him to get up, you sleeper. What are you doing down here sleeping while all this is going on? And they began to question, why is this? For some reason, they believed that it was God, or their gods, if you will, that was responsible for this storm. In all probability, they weren't very far from the shore, because it says that they, whenever Jonah told him everything that was going on, and he told him to throw him overboard and everything would be okay. And they said, no, we're not going to do that, and they attempted to row even harder toward the shore. So probably they weren't too far from land whenever this storm came up. But they wouldn't have had to have been very far, because had God chosen to do so, and had Jonah not done what he determined to do, he would have the ship would have been shipwrecked. But anyway, there was this time of reckoning, and Jonah ultimately paid the consequences for his actions of running from God. Interesting thing here is that not only was Jonah affected, and that's one thing that I think we need to all get a lesson from. When you run from God, you are not the only one affected. These men on the ship were affected as well. We think sometimes, well, the things that I do will not have any effect on anybody else. The fact is, no one goes through life doing things that does not affect other people. And life's experience tells us all of us that. We see people that are caught up in sin, and that individual is not the only one that is affected. Families are affected. Loved ones are affected. Friends are affected. And so was the case with Jonah here. Not only was he affected, but ultimately could have ultimately caused these men in the ship to be lost as well. So in chapter 1, we see a man who runs from God. Chapter 2, we see a man who runs to God. You know, in verse 17 of chapter 1 says, Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord in his God from the fish's belly. As I said a while ago, I don't understand all about this. I do not understand how God could have caused a fish, whatever it was, to swallow a man whole, that man to remain alive in a fish's belly for 3 days and three nights, with all of those digestive juices flowing and the acidity that would attack your skin and your body. I don't understand that, but I believe it. I believe it because that's what the Bible says. And Jesus testified that what this story is about is true. But Jonah, as a result of his disobedience, wound up in this fish's belly. And whenever he was there, verse 2 says, he cried out to the Lord. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, it says. In verse 4 he says, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. In verse 6 he says, O Lord my God. Verse 7, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to him unto your holy temple. Verse 9, but I will sacrifice to you. With the voice of thanksgiving, I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Here we see a man who is truly penitent. You know, some have said that the hardest commandment that God requires of us is repentance. And I believe that's probably right. The word repent in the original Greek means to turn, to change our mind, to change one's mind. And you know, all of us have a certain amount of pride about us. We don't want to admit that we're wrong. I think practically all of us would like to think that everything we are doing is exactly right. And that whenever we do that, when we come to the understanding that we are doing something that we ought not to do, we don't want to admit it. Because whenever we do that, we're admitting that we're wrong and we're going to have to make a change. And that's a hard thing to do. All of us recognize that, I think. You know, sometimes we talk about kids being so stubborn and closed-minded, they're like their mama or their daddy, you know. We all say that. Well, the fact is, we're all prideful. And none of us want to admit we're wrong. But Jonah came to the point in his life that he had to admit it. He had to understand it. And that's the way it is with us today. We have to understand, whenever we're wrong, that we have to change. We have to turn and to go in a different direction. And so that's a great lesson that I think we get out of chapter 2. The Apostle Paul talked about repentance when he referred to in 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, to godly sorrow that leads to repentance. You know, sometimes people are sorry that they get caught. They're sorry not necessarily for what they did, but they're sorry they get caught. But Paul says that that's not the kind of sorrow that we ought to have. It's godly sorrow that leads to repentance, which ultimately brings about salvation. And that's the kind of repentance that we ought to have. Whenever we're We're standing before the God of heaven, and we think about what God requires of us. This idea of repentance comes into play. And we all have to admit, if we're going to run to God, we're all going to have to admit that we're guilty of something, that we're wrong, and that we have to turn and order our life in a different direction. So chapter 2 is a man who ran to God. And look what happens whenever you turn to God. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. God is truly a God of second chances. And that's what we have here. Jonah gets a second chance. Not all people do that. There are some people that we know that never, ever make a change. And they don't get a second chance. Jonah was fortunate to do that. Chapter 3, we have God, a man who runs with God. Interesting how in verse 2 again, God repeats the command, basically the same thing that he had done in chapter 1. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. Nineveh was, he refers to it as a great city. This section in verse 3 says that in order to get from one end of the city to the other, it took 3 days. That's a big city. Over in the last chapter, it says that there were over 120,000 people who were living in the city of Nineveh at that time. So we have Jonah at this time who gets a second chance. God tells him again to go into Nineveh. And oh my, look what happens whenever he does what God wants him to do. In verse 4 says, and Jonah entered the city on the first day's walk. And he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Verse 5, so the people of Nineveh believed God. Now it's amazing to me that even in the first day that he began to preach, he began to sound out the message. He was successful. You know, sometimes we think that we're held accountable for what the people do. No, that's not it. We're held accountable for doing what God tells us to do. And God will give the increase. And that's what happened here. They began to repent, as he had said that for them to do. In verse 5, to repent, they proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. All of the people, not just the poor, not just the middle class, but all the people, all classes, began to repent and do that which God wanted them to do. Verse 6, then the word came to the king of Nineveh. Not only did all the people, but even the king was obedient. He laid off his robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let every man nor beast, neither man nor beast, nor herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water. He proclaimed a fast to demonstrate that they were truly a penitent people. I don't know what all they did. They were considered a very wicked nation, and this wickedness had gone up before God, and God was calling them into account at this time, and God would have punished them. He would have destroyed the city. He would have destroyed the people had they not repented. But all of this took place. All of the repentance on the part of these people took place because Jonah ran with God. He did what God wanted him to do. I tell you, sometimes I think we underestimate the power of God. We just think that, well, you know, we preach and we do all that we can and nothing is going to happen and seems like things get worse and worse, and it sure does sometimes. But the fact is that whenever we do what God wants us to do, we can accomplish great things. It's a great lesson to me from the third chapter. When we run with God, we can accomplish great things. Verse 10 says, "Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil ways, and God relented from the disaster that He had said He would bring upon them, and He did not do it." Now that's what you can do when you obey God. That's what repentance will do for us, even today. It wasn't just for the people of Nineveh. Even today, if we're willing to repent and turn to God, God will relent His judgment against us. Chapter 4, we have a man who runs ahead of God. We've had a man who ran from God, a man who ran to God, a man who ran with God, and in chapter 4, we have a man who runs ahead of God. Jonah sees this repentance. He sees that God is not going to do what He said He was going to do because they did repent and he didn't like it. Verse 1 of chapter 4. "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, 'Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that You are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm.'" Now, I don't know whether he told God that or not, or whether he even thought that or not, but he was certainly using it as an excuse now to be angry about the fact that God wasn't going to destroy the nation. Verse 3 says, "Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Well, you know, he was really having a pity party, wasn't he? He really felt sorry for himself. He was so embarrassed. I go through this city and I tell him that you're going to destroy it, and now you said you're not going to do it because they repented just like you asked them to do, and you're going to embarrass me. Well, you know, we can run ahead of God too. Whenever we don't do what God tells us to, when we go ahead and do what we think God wants us to do instead of what He says for us to do, the world is full of people like that. The world is full of religions like that. You ask people today why they do certain things in religion. Why have you done what you have done insofar as what you believe your salvation to be? And they say, well, I just think that's the right thing to do. People today think it's, you know, their own works will save them. That if they can take their money and give to certain causes and they can do this and they can do that and be active in this kind of thing and that kind of thing and none of it has to do a thing with what God wants them to do, and yet they think they're all right. That's the way Jonah was. He thought he knew more than God. And so he ran ahead of God. And we can do the same thing. You know, sometimes I have heard of people, brothers and sisters, who don't like it because a certain brother maybe have a particular problem, and it's a recurring problem. And that brother or sister will come forward and will repent of what they've done, just as sincere as they can be. And yet we get upset because they do it more times than we think they ought to. So we can run ahead of God as well. People that don't obey God, and we get upset at them. You know, I guess there's an old adage that you don't talk about politics and religion. And one of the reasons is that people use a lot of times get mad about it. Well, we shouldn't get mad if somebody don't respond to our teaching. That's not the purpose for us to feel good about it, and not the purpose, although we should feel good whenever we teach someone, and ultimately that person may obey the gospel. But we shouldn't get upset at a person because they don't necessarily agree with what we do when it comes to religion. It's not my duty or my responsibility to force you to believe what I believe. It's my responsibility to teach what I believe the Word of the Lord is. But when I fail to do that, I'm running ahead of God. When I teach something that God does not want me to teach or has not told me to teach, I'm running ahead of God. So here we have a man who ran through life, as I entitled my lesson. He ran away from God. He ran to God. He ran with God. And he ran ahead of God. So as we close our lesson this morning, I would like to raise the question to each and every one of us here. Where do we find ourselves? In our Christian walk, where are we? Am I talking to one here this morning who is running away from God? You're not obedient to Him. You're running as fast as you can away from Him into a world that is filled with sin? Or are you running to God? It is my prayer, the prayer of all the brethren here, that you respond to heaven's invitation this morning. It's not my invitation. It's God's invitation. Jesus said when He gave the Great Commission, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned." That's not my words. Those are not my words. That's God's words. You need to respond to what God says, irrespective of what mom and daddy has done, irrespective of what friends have done. You look at what the book says. And when the book tells you to do something, you do it, and you'll be walking with God. Won't you come right now as we stand and as we sing? Won't you please come?